This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. It's been another week of news about how Flint's water has been contaminated and the state's actions, or inactions. Crucial new information and headlines keep coming every day, sometimes multiple times a day. But on Fridays, at least for a little while, we want to go behind the headlines and get behind the scenes with our reporters in Flint. Many of them have been covering this story for months, and sometimes big, tragic stories like this have a way of hitting close to home. Sometimes too close, and that's the case with my colleague Lindsay Smith. No doubt, like many parents across Michigan, she started to wonder about her own child's lead levels, and her baby was tested. So, Lindsay, how'd that happen?
I have an 18-month-old. She got her blood tested back in August, right around her birthday, which is not uncommon. Usually when they test kids' blood for lead levels, they do it around 1 year old, because the most common way that kids are exposed to lead still is through lead paint, chips and paint dust. It's right around 1 year old where they start putting that stuff in their mouths. Her test came back at what they call 5 micrograms per deciliter of blood. And 5 micrograms per deciliter of blood is the cutoff. It's actually just the borderline where if your child tests at that level or above, that's when you'd get notified. If it comes in below that level, you might not even find out about it. Those kids that test 5 or above are in the highest 2.5% of children tested for lead in their blood in the country. So statistically, it's significant at that point.
So do you know where she was exposed to this lead?
No, we don't. We're still trying to figure that out. I right away decided to get my water tested, and the results of that test are actually really good. And then I also was able to contact the city of Grand Rapids and ask them, as Joe Blow citizen here, hey, do you guys know if my service line is made out of lead or what it's made out of? And I got that answer, and I know that my line is made out of copper. The thing that's kind of disturbing to me in a way is, like, even though I live in this older neighborhood, my home was built in 2005. So I don't have concerns about it having lead paint in it, right? Like, that's not going to be an issue with that new of a home. At this point, I'm trying to get down to what may have caused that exposure. And my hunch is that it's in the soil, because that's another place, another common place besides paint where children, young children can get exposed to lead. So I'm going to get my soil tested once the snow melts out here. You know, trying to figure out what your line is made out of is not exactly easy. I know some of our staff, especially in Detroit, have tried to get a hold of the same information that I got from the city of Grand Rapids, and they haven't been able to do that yet. This is information that cities should have compiled 25 years ago when the lead and copper rule passed. But this week, the EPA has decided that they want water systems across the state to put that information on their websites. And I have a feeling that that's going to be very difficult for some cities to do, not only because the data is not in an electronic form that you can just throw on a website, but even the paper records that we have in some of these older cities are not exactly accurate, or there's lots of records missing.
So I imagine a lot of people hearing about the exposure in Flint and other cities who found out that they have lead lines, a lot of people are probably getting concerned about this.
I think that you're definitely starting to see more people just look into, do I have a lead service line? Do I not? Is my water safe when it comes to lead? Is it not? There is a demand for tests going on across the state for sure.
So this has been something that's been on your mind a lot. How do you escape from all this kind of dreaded news that you're covering and that you're living?
As much as I've had my head sort of buried in Flint, with that news coverage, certainly the last few months, that I did go to this amazing event this week that was just really fun for me to see. This was in Muskegon Heights, a basketball game. I don't get to go to too many high school basketball games anymore. And this one was really fun because, you know, it was supposed to be a game that Muskegon Heights was going to play against Shelby High School. And because there's been some violence in Muskegon Heights and in the football season. Even some games got moved around because some teams weren't comfortable playing in Muskegon Heights. And Shelby canceled. They wouldn't come down. And instead, a team from Kalamazoo came up and played at Muskegon Heights. And just given everything that happened in Kalamazoo, you know, that's another story where we had a bunch of violence in Kalamazoo a little less than 2 weeks ago. And these two communities kind of use this opportunity to say, we're not going to let this violence define us. It was like 2,000 people at this game and everybody was in a good mood and like nothing happened. It was just, it was really uplifting. I didn't get a chance to use all of the tape that I got from that game.
So, oh, you did a story on Michigan Radio.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we get 35 seconds or so to pack this into a headline. But I mean, I talked to so many amazing people. So we have some of that tape from the cutting room floor.
You can do that!
Instead of being afraid, you come together during times of crisis. You don't run from crisis, and that's what community is all about. That's what we've tried to do in the last week in Kalamazoo, and certainly I know that's what Muskegon Heights has been doing here. And
we are still Tigers, so
right.
We're not with the whatever the media pumps us up to be, where the bad things happen all through here. That's not the kids that's happening. It's the people that surround the area. It's the adults that come here and start this trouble. It's not the kids themselves. A lot of kids can be troubled. You know, they face a lot of things. Adversity going through school as enough as it is. Last thing they need is, you know, someone to taunt them and make them seem that they're not wanted around. So
right.
We got a lot of teams that bagged out because of the so-called this and the safety issues. Any other game, we never had any problems. We never had this much security. We never needed it.
If you think about that, think about these stands being filled, these young people having the opportunity to play the game that they love so much, and have all of these folks standing beside them and behind them, it has to be very meaningful for all of them. And I'm just, again, so proud that people really came out and saw why it was important.
It was Mayor Bobby Hopewell from Kalamazoo that you hear at the end. That was his first time to Muskegon Heights. And so he was just really proud to kind of have that experience. And I think it was quite the game.
Lindsay Smith is our West Michigan reporter who's been covering the Flint story for months.